you, thank you, thank you. Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, good noon, good night, good dawn, good day, good Monday, good desk. Welcome to The Long Shot. It is a podcast. I am one of your hosts. My name is Sean Conroy. With me today on the podcast, the other host, the co-host, the hostess with the mostest. the penny with the, yeah, okay. Amber Kay is here.
What penny am I?
I said hostess with the mostest, and I was trying to rhyme with penny, but then penny. It was like, yeah, it was not.
Yeah, we're in too deep.
And it started to turn into like a Danny Kay thing. Okay, sorry, go ahead.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. Are you talking to me or are you talking to the listeners?
Yeah. I like your yellow sweatshirt. That's very on brand for me to be wearing a yellow top.
And I enjoy the guitar hanging from your wall and not being used. That's very on brand for me. I know that's just current, but for me, it's all the time. So welcome to The Long Shot. We are here to talk to you today about a lot of things. There's a lot going on, a lot of stuff in the news. There were some balloons that were floating around that apparently were shot down this week. There's some stuff about, I can't remember this week or last week, with the State of the Union address, which you figure by now they would know the address. They wouldn't have to keep repeating it all the time. But that's not what we're here to talk about. The first thing we wanted to talk about today is that last week at the end of the show, and by the way, I hope the sound quality on this episode is a little better than the one last week from my microphone, because what happened was...
Oh, I remember you didn't have your microphone at the beginning.
No, I did, though. I eventually got it, but the problem was not that. The problem was there was a bunch of stuff on the floor right behind me, like who knows what. Stuff that, you know, cardboard boxes I needed to take out to the recycling bin.
Hula hoops.
Donation stuff. Yeah, the hula hoop. My unicycle that I don't use anymore because I got a new one. The jug. I used to play in a jug band. And right. I was like, fuck you guys. I'm walking away. And now I have no reason to keep the jug. But anyway, what that did was sort of muffle. Like it, because this is all, there's no rugs or anything where I'm recording. Last week's episode sounded very echoey to me when I was talking because there was nothing baffling the sound, and I could just sense Jorge turning over in his house, you know?
So wait, are you saying that you do need crap behind you to absorb it?
I do, yes. Because otherwise there's just surfaces for the sound to bounce off of, and it sounds like I'm recording in a
bathtub.
Yeah, or a canyon of some sort that sound reverberates from, or a...
Bathtubs are small canyons, if you think about it.
Or canyons are large bathtubs.
For giants.
Yes. So right before this, as I was like remembering to get my microphone, and this, I took the laundry out of the dryer and threw it on the floor behind me. So
in a basket.
It's going to be dirty again.
Oh, no, Sean.
At least it's taking care of the sound problems. Somewhat, I think. I can sort of hear it. But anyway, at the end of the episode last week, I asked people to comment on our YouTube page. Our YouTube, on the episode.
Your YouTube page.
my old podcast's page that we now publish this on. One of the good things about this podcast is we've always managed to constantly switch the places where we are available online.
Well, and you always were always agitated by the fact that we didn't have a consistent naming system. And I would say having the YouTube channel be just a completely different podcast is, we've really one-upped ourselves.
It's again, it comes back to being on brand. We've stayed on brand right the entire time.
We don't stay at one level. Like we challenge ourselves to be more confusing, more difficult to find at every
next step. Week's episode may be hosted by two total strangers
in code.
two completely other people speaking in Morse code, which means they'll just be saying dot, 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 dash, dash, dash. And you'll have to write it all down and translate.
Yeah.
Or decode, I guess. It's not translate. It's another language. So anyway, I just wanted to read some of the comments because people actually did do what I asked them to do.
That's which was nice.
Very nice. And commented on the episode. The episode was called Bringing Breakfast Bourbon to Bel Air Beyonce Brunch Bash. It was, I don't know who comes up with the names of these episodes, but whoever it was did a great job. So
is it you?
I really don't know. I can't say.
There's no way to know.
So the first comment, and let me just preface everything by saying, I'm sure I will mispronounce some people's names, and I apologize in advance for getting that wrong. And, you know, we all know how that whole ball game goes. It's always a crapshoot. I will say, by the way, just speaking of names, sorry, I keep getting distracted, but speaking of names, I ordered food online today and picked it up from the place. And I got there and the lady behind the counter, I said, you know, last name is Conroy. And the lady behind the counter, like, looked up behind her and saw the bag and like pulled it down and was like very conspiratorially to me. She was like, I saw the name and I was just like, oh, Sean Connery. I bet you get that all the time. And I was like, I do. Yeah. I get the whole time. All right. Here's the first comment. It is from, and I apologize if I'm mispronouncing this, David. And he said, David, well, I won't say his last name. You can look it up. It's on YouTube. He's listing his name there.
If you can find it.
Yeah. Just look under The Long Shot by Duncan Robinson is the podcast. It says, commenting because of Sean's ask at the end of the ep. I've listened since day one, and The Long Shot is still one of my, if not my favorite, podcast. I love that the show has mutated into the Sean and Amber show, and it's got a more low-key vibe, but still the same sense of humor. I've actually been doing a re-listen from the beginning and remembering a ton of great moments from through the years. Thanks for keeping me company for so many years now. So,
that's so kind. That's crazy. I like it.
What's that?
It's crazy to think that we have been a part of people's lives for over a decade. Like
13 years.
That's crazy. Yes. It's not bad crazy. It's just surreal crazy.
Right. Right, that there's people out there who we've never met who know an unconscionable amount of stuff about us.
Yeah.
Probably could figure out our passwords fairly easily. The next one, and again, apologies, is from Albert. Hi, guys. I've listened to The Long Shot every week since... This is again, surreal. I've listened to The Long Shot every week since the cucumber episode. Like, amazing that he remembered that.
Yeah.
Which I just looked up, and it came out November 12th, 2012.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I kind of want to know what the cucumber episode is and why that was one that he was like, this is a new podcast I'm going to check out. And then he was just on board.
We got to do more podcasts about cucumbers to drive our numbers. Right.
To drive the numbers through the roof. Mm-hmm.
That's what the kids like in podcasts.
Let me go on iTunes and see if there's any good podcasts that have cucumbers on them. it's been a true delight getting to know all of the hosts over the years. And I'm beyond grateful that it still exists. Also, also, my laptop password is a 69 joke because it's always funny. Thank you so much for the show. That was a big topic last week, was the number 69.
I recall.
Well, I was just for new people. Oh. Because now it's going to say cucumber in the name of the episode.
Right,
because
we talked for about all our new cucumber fans.
So there's a bunch of new cucumber. Yeah. I call them cukeheads.
Hey, I was just going to say cukeheads. Get out of my head.
Okay, I'm changing mine. I call them cukanon.
I like cukeheads. Or little, like, little cukes.
Okay, this one is from John. And he says, this is so funny. Okay. I started listening fairly early on. The topic of colored pencils sticks out in my mind.
That one sticks out in all of our minds.
Yes. When it went on hiatus, it was a real downer. I'm so glad Sean and Amber continue to make new episodes. They brighten my day.
Wow.
But it's just funny that people are like, this episode.
Yeah.
We got to get more colored pencil cukes.
Mm-hmm. We could draw some cucumbers with colored pencils.
Bingo.
Live on the podcast as a stunt.
What if we had other people draw the cucumbers with colored pencils hosting the show themselves? So it was even more removed.
Right.
Yeah. Here's one from Gerspiedig. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly. Checking in. Have listened since season 2. Will not stop. Thank you for continuing to entertain us.
It feels like a threat.
And also that somebody is going, there's somebody in his life going,
you need to knock it off.
It's Friday night. We could go to the bowling alley. We could go to the roller rink. I am not sitting home and listening to another episode of The Long Shot. It's about cucumbers. Okay, I'm in.
Also, it sounds like whether you like it or not, you can make the show as shitty as you want. I'm listening.
You can't drive me away, even if you just make weird sounds.
We'll do our damnedest.
Okay, here's one from Fred. And it says, hey, Amber and Sean, you people rock. Aww. You two and the absentees continue to be a part of my daily life. Thank you so much for keeping Lo Show Po alive. Now, here's a question. When do they stop becoming absentees and start become, like, what do we call?
Yeah. Our fallen soldiers.
I like that. Lo Show Po Emeritus.
Because we do have like a hall of
fallen soldiers.
Of veterans, yeah.
They're on the memorial wall.
Mm-hmm. We have more people who used to be on the show than are on the show currently.
This is true.
That's crazy.
Especially if you start counting interns, sound engineers.
It's a cast of thousands.
It's a big wall. Yeah. It rivals the wall in DC. Not in import, just in size and number of. Bear of a Man. I mean,
that's the name of the person,
right? What a name to give a kid, and they have to live up to that. Good luck. Good day, good dawn, good desk, good dusk. Longtime listener and still hooked to Adventures of Smudgy.
Aw. Okay, good. Because I am self-conscious about like talking about it too much.
People love dogs.
I know. I love dogs.
They really do. This is from Kristen. Hi. I've been listening since season 3, I think.
So a newbie, a new listener. Relatively.
Rookie. I love checking in with you guys every week. And then she put a heart emoji.
Aww.
Yeah. I like when people emphasize their love. Whoops. This is the problem, is trying to read this on a device I don't actually know how to use. Okay, this one's from Alan, and it says, I have been listening since the middle of season 3. I listen to old episodes every weeknight on my ride home from work and new ones as they come out.
My gosh.
Yes, you occasionally retell a story.
Here come
just occasionally, once in a while.
In in 13 years, I would imagine that would happen.
But I am happy to listen to you talk about anything, even recap La Brea. It has been fun to watch the podcast develop over the years. And I have to say that as much as I love the old shows, The Long Shot has never been better than its current incarnation.
Are you paying these people, Sean? What's going
on? So how about you suck it, Pepitone, Flom, Wagner? You guys can just suck it, okay? I know that was not Alan's intention, but that's where I go with that.
I was going to say, maybe it's the first person posted and everyone sort of took that as a template, but you didn't say, like, say when you started listening and, like...
Right.
Everyone
like, do I still like it or
yeah,
not?
Yeah, like, everyone is kind of following a similar template, which is
Right. Well, it's funny because that's, like... I'm sure you're right. Somebody wrote it and then people started reading it and they were like, oh, I should say...
Yeah.
Right. But it is interesting because it's like... These are all people that have been on board all the way. There's nobody, that's the other thing. We're reading all these. There's nobody who's like, I just started listening two weeks ago.
That's never going to happen. Yes. I mean, after the cucumber episode, yes.
Of course, but. Right. We're going to be the featured speakers at the International Convention of Cucumber Farmers next year.
Maybe the folks that are commenting would have a better way, but for our current iteration of this podcast, mm-hmm. I even have trouble like pitching it or describe like what would hook someone.
What are we talking about?
What's not to dissuade people, but it's like
we talk about our lives.
It's
okay?
Two people having
it's
an audio journal.
And that's the thing. I mean, that's the thing that has become evident in the 13 years since we started doing this. Mm-hmm. Is that social media success is all about niche and marketing. Like,
and
who are you helping and how are you helping them?
And we are not into either of those things.
Right. We're just like, hey, what's going on, man? Uh-huh. Great to see you. Let's find out what's new. We even used to have guests that would attract new listeners.
We don't do that.
Fuck that.
We don't have facts. We're not teaching anything. We don't really have even a point of view.
And we're constantly wrong about everything.
Everything, yeah. And we're telling the same stories over and over again.
Occasionally. Once in an episode. Okay, this is from Jamie. Not Jamie Flom. I wonder if Sean is aware of the existence of, and if he has listened to, the new episode of Hardcore History. It came out on January 16th, and it's about Vikings, and it is, of course, excellent. Love it. I wasn't aware of the new episode until this person wrote this, and now I'm excited to listen to.
Great.
Because it could be, there's a variety of things it could be about in terms of the Vikings. Are you a fan of Viking history?
A Vikehead?
Are you a Viking? Are you a horn helmet head? Which, by the way, supposedly was not really a thing amongst the Vikings. It's just a cinematic trope that developed when moving pictures started.
I would say I'm not an expert on Viking history. Not even.
It sounded like you were going to elaborate on that, but I take it that you're not.
Well, also it's you, so I could be like, "Yeah, I know it," and you'd be like. What about the War of 18, blah, 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 whatever. I'm not.
Well, the fact that you said War of 18, whatever.
I know.
You're thinking of, okay.
What do you like about the Vikings?
I just like ancient history of any kind, you know? And I think there's stuff that people always thought was true of the Vikings that turned out not to be true. And then there's also this whole thing that the Vikings were the first settlers in North America. Like they crossed the ocean from Europe and landed in northern North America and had settlements there that ended up not lasting and never developing into anything. And I always find that interesting because imagine you're like some fucking dude who's like, I am going to sail my boat as far as it will go and see what's of the Egypt, and then you end up and you're just like in New York and you're like, what the fuck? This is great.
Yeah.
I mean, it's obviously not New York then. It's just, there's just stuff. And you're like, hey, let's settle here. And then how long does that last and how does it die out? Mm-hmm. You know? I find that stuff really interesting. And then there's a show, there's a TV show. You know, I love TV. Mm. There's a TV show called The Last Kingdom, which is about the development of England as a country. So it's the Saxons in the 900s and the Vikings are invading. And it's before the Normans invade and take over. And it's just a good, it was a good show. It's you know, it's moving from feudalism and small villages into larger, what eventually become nation states. And then eventually England becomes one country. And, you know, next thing you know, the queen dies and they're in mourning for like a month. And everybody's like, what the fuck is going on? And then Harry writes a book called Spare. Oh, wow.
So we skipped ahead quite a bit.
I guess we moved too quickly. I guess we moved too quickly on that one. But that's why I want to listen to this episode of Hardcore History. Mm. Steve says, hi, Sean and Amber. I've been listening for over a year. Wow. This is a
baby. That's a newbie.
And really love the show.
How did you find us? Like, truly, right back. Why? How? Everything.
Congrats, Amber, on getting through the DMV like a champ.
Thank you.
And Sean, Makers is perfect for breakfast. How dare that rich lady, the Balearionaire, try to give back your generous gift of smooth, delish bourbon. Loved that you talked about the Grammys. I'm friends with a Grammy winner this year, but did not get invited to a Grammy brunch. So loved that story. Thanks for the fun podcast.
Whoa.
Another friend of Bay. all right. This one is from Erforikfor.
I'm sorry?
Erforikfor.
Okay.
I mean, it's literally, oh no, sorry, R454? It might be a robot. On Amber's Reggio story, already I'm lost momentarily. I don't remember your Reggio story. In Australia, you just need to register your car online and that's it. So much more convenient.
It's fun that you registration is Rego. That's fun. I might adopt that. Is that what all Australians say, or is that just a you thing?
Well, that is what all Aussos say.
But we can do our registration online normally. The sticker, that was the whole point, is that I did that. It just didn't come in the mail.
This might be the DMV continuing to torture you. That's why it's a robot. They're just using Australian as a disguise. I am Australian. Why did you not just register online? URC24.
Right. Well, it was my fault, ultimately. I can tell more details about this car registration story.
Let's hear about the Reggio. Come on.
People are on the edge of their seats about my Reggio.
This is what the show is. It's mostly about registration. Are there any podcasts about the DMV?
I'm sure there is. But, like, basically ours is. At this point. It's about, like, the dentist and the DMV.
Just wait till later in this episode.
Oh, no. So what happened was I moved next door. And the year before when I did the car registry, I don't think I did like the change of address, but it went to next door. And I knew like the apartment manager next door just brought it to me. Mm-hmm. I did do a change of address online for the DMV for my driver's license. And I stupidly thought that that would be a blanket change of address.
Right.
Because I got my driver's license to my new address.
You changed the address for your blanket and your
license. So the registration still went to the other address. Mm-hmm. And I called that building manager. And she's like, yeah, I think the new tenant just throws stuff away. I'm so sorry.
Right.
So that's like, so it was my fault, but it was a weird loophole thing.
Gary, I got to reg out the car. Well, how am I going to do it? You should reg out it through the compo.
Well, and then I was like, oh, I'll change the address now online officially. Mm-hmm. But one of the things you needed to fill in to process the change of address was date of registry issue. And I didn't know that because I didn't have my registry. Do you see?
I do. I do. And I hope that makes it all the way to the other side of the world and that person is able to follow that.
About the DMV a lot longer if you want to.
It reminds me of that old Jim Gaffigan joke where he goes, and I can't do a great Jim Gaffigan impression, but he's like, I got a letter in the mail the other day from it was addressed to my neighbor, and I looked at it and I was like, well, guess he's not getting that. Okay, here's another one from Protege 5, which is our old friend Phil up in, I think he's still up in Canada.
International. Two in a row, international.
Yes, right. Worldwide. I'm still in the process of watching this episode, and I'm commenting since lots of others are, and it seems important and possibly relevant.
Yeah, I love that he's a follower. He's like, oh, everyone else is doing it. I'm going to do it too.
Right. But not too much of a follower because he didn't say when he started listening and, you know, or whether he would ever called. Stop, that he will not stop, you know. here's another one that is from Green Apple Cat.
Green Apple Cat is
well, that's one of our another of our
yeah a long time
Australian pals.
Yes.
So Green Apple Cat is the brother of the person who commented below him on this, I believe.
Oh my gosh!
And I think Green Apple Cat is the one who made us the spoons. Yes. Yeah.
So cool.
Right. Very cool. In fact. And I hate to say this, but I accidentally banged a thing hanging from my wall the other day and my spoon fell on the counter and I had to figure out how to get it back up on the wall. And I couldn't remember how I had done that in the first place. It was very complicated. This is what we get into on the long shot is the minutiae of daily life. Anyway, Green Apple Cat says, oh, whoops. I said, hey, on Facebook. Instead, damn, now you won't know I'm still listening.
Mm.
Yeah, that's too bad. You know?
Well, you'll get away with just a warning this time.
Right. We're not going to hold it against you, but it would be nicer if you were still listening. the next one is from Tim. And Tim says, good desk, which is a... For some of the newer listeners who just
my God, you said it earlier in this podcast. We're determined to lose the followers we have.
Will not continue.
Click.
Click. Next one is from Dreamy Time Films, our old friend Frank in Hawaii,
yes.
Who very Hawaiianly says, aloha. Y'all, you know how they like to say y'all in mm-hmm. Hawaii? And then from Rob, who says, good night, moon. Good night, Chinese balon. Which I can't tell is if it's a typo or if it's a purposeful use of the word balon. I choose to believe it's purposeful. And then Felipe. Who has also done...
These are a lot of comments.
Yeah. Says, hey.
I mean, you just asked them to say, hey, really. Right?
I did. I just said, please. So he's fulfilling what was asked for.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it. We got a bunch of people who were kind enough to do what we said. So if you're one of those people, thank you. And if you're listening and you're not one of those people, you have another chance on this episode. You can comment on
smash that like button.
Yeah, hit the bell and strike the subscription.
Do you think that, I guess it's a small sample size, so it's hard to extract a lot of data from this set. Mm-hmm. But do you think that like we have a particular appeal to Australians?
That is funny. That is funny. Like, what is going on there? Well, but part of the problem is that is, you know, those two brothers are basically half the population of Australia. Like, that's how many people live there, you know?
That's not entirely true.
So it's like somebody, one person in Australia heard about the show and started listening, and that spread like wildfire around the country. Right. So half the population is now listening, which is cool. I mean, I used to look at, and I haven't seen it in a long time, but I would look at...
what are the hits? What are the hits? What are the numbers? Hits?
I would look at where... And there were people in like 60 different countries who were listening to the podcast at one point.
That's crazy.
And only a few in a lot of countries, but it was still wild to see like, you know, people in...
you could do it.
Other different countries.
I believe you.
Somewhere else. No, you know, we're somewhere other places.
Like,
you know?
Not at all here.
Not this country of United States, but like other, you know, like you go outside and there's like...
if you keep going.
I mean, a lot of people don't realize how many big other places there are. So there was a lot of people from those places listening to the show. All right. Well, that takes care of the listener comments portion of the show that we do every 11 years, and it's time now.
It's not that inaccurate.
Time now for a segment that we'd like to call Checking In. So let's find out what's going on with Amber. Amber, checking in.
Checking in. It's starting off with a plug because I want to get it in.
And I will say, I don't know what you're going to plug, but I bet I already have a ticket. Go ahead.
That's just so nice. Yeah. Thank you. The Liquid Feet show, Liquid Feet Returns, is this Saturday, February 18th at the Lyric Hyperion, 9:30. Get your tickets, smash that like button. I don't know if you have. Oh, you have.
I don't know what you're about to say, but I bet I have.
Well, I haven't had to promote a show in so long. And I forgot, and I'm like, oh, this is horrible. It's the worst.
Right. Well, I mean, I feel badly because that's not what I thought you were going to plug. I thought you were going to plug the Magic Mike movie, which I bought a ticket for Saturday night.
No!
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding, of course. I bought a Liquid Feet ticket. Yeah, it's wild to have to promote again for the first time. You know?
Well, and it's like that thing where I'm like, oh, I could tell these people, but then I also don't want to be like, oh, then I'm the asshole that hasn't talked to these people for X amount of years or whatever. And it's
But I also feel like everybody is, and I don't even mean this in a specific way because I don't think there is a specific way. We are all still in such a weird state because of what's happened over the last several years. So I think that anybody who would be like, the fuck, Amber, you're going to plug your show and we haven't talked in like 3 years. You know, that's not cool. Like, I feel like that person should be taken off your invitation list.
Okay. We'll take any butts and seats at this point.
But what I really think is nobody would do that. Like, I think people are all just like, they'd be so happy to hear from you in any way and know that if they came out to the show, there's the possibility that if they can go outside after the show,
I might even talk to them.
Well, they would have to find the stage door and be, you know, hang around for a while and get past your bodyguard. But there's a chance that
direct eye contact. Yeah,
you might be willing to take a photo for a second and even like, let's take a selfie. Okay.
Yeah. Like, oh, Hey, buddy, thanks for coming.
You would figure out how to do well. This is not to bring it back to my friend who was, you know, nominated for Grammy, but I have a friend who was nominated for
my
Grammy.
Goodness, anyway, when are we going to stop talking about this?
He went to a function, and I honestly don't. It was some kind of songwriters function. Mm-hmm. And the head of the function.
That's a clue right there.
The head of the function.
We're narrowing in on who this is. It's Taylor Swift.
I'm not saying that was what he was nominated for. I'm just saying he went to a thing. In fact, I can definitively say that was not what he was nominated for.
He was not nominated for songwriting.
Right. But he went to this, I don't know what it was, some kind of dinner or something. And the head of the whatever this songwriting association is a guy by the name of Paul Williams. And he is, I mean, he's written songs. And
I would hope so.
But he was on television a lot in the 70s. Like, he was on The Love Boat. He was probably on Columbo at some point. Like, he was one of those celebrities in the 70s mm-hmm. who was just like, asked to be on everything.
He was on like The Match Game.
Right, all right. Yeah, he was definitely on Match Game, Hollywood Squares, like all that stuff. And now he's the, you know, the head of this organization. And he's got to be up there in years at this point. He's probably in his 70s or something. And my friend saw him and approached him and was like, "Can I get a selfie?" And as he started to hold his camera up, Paul Williams was like, "Let me, yeah, I'll do it." And he just took the camera and like did it for him, both because I think a lot of people don't totally even know how to do that the right way. But my friend said also, and I knew this, like, he's just a very, very small man. So he knew how to hold it at such an angle that it looked like they were standing next to each other, instead of that my friend, who's not even a big person, mm-hmm. would have been towering over him if they had taken a regular picture. So you got to figure out how to take selfies with your fans outside your show in such a way, you know.
Yeah, but I'm really excited about it. We've been working mm-hmm. really hard. I'm like coming at it with a very different attitude than I have in the past, where I'm like, it's just so cool that I get to do something so dumb and I get to dance and mm-hmm. do a little bit of acting. And we've been dancing together as a troupe for, I think, over a decade now. And so we've
that's nothing compared to some other stuff.
No, I know. It's a blip. Mm-hmm. But we have a shorthand with each other, and we're like more confident in our voice and what we think is funny. And that's what this show is. I feel like sometimes in the past we put together shows and it's very much like, what does the audience want? And we're going the other way. We're like, this is what we like. This is what makes us laugh. And it makes us genuinely laugh. So I think that it's like you get to that. I mean, knock on wood, we'll see. You'll be the arbiter, I guess. But you get to that result.
I don't care for the same things you enjoy, clearly.
But I mean, you... as an audience member, when I feel like it's very easy to get on board and enjoy things when you can tell that the people performing are truly enjoying themselves mm-hmm. and like trying to like weirdly somehow manipulate the audience into liking you by giving them what you think that they want isn't the way to go.
I agree 100%. Like, I have very good friends that I work with and do creative things with who are super, super conscious of what's the market? What are people mm-hmm. going to like? What do we want to sell? What's the commercial upside to the thing? And I could care less about any of that.
Right.
I have the things I want to do, and that's what I want to do, you know?
Yeah. And yeah, as we're rehearsing, we genuinely laugh at it. And we're revisiting some old dances that we haven't done in a long time. And so relearning the choreography, we're watching the video. And I think, again, there's been enough time, years and years, at least 3 years, like you were saying. And we all kind of were like, this is good choreography. I like this. Like, we were like fans of ourselves. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It's just funny.
Well, I don't have my dance career ended a while ago. So I don't
You were really talking up your dance abilities. And I said,
I'm not saying my abilities are gone. I'm saying my career ended a while ago. I still have the abilities. I just have not.
You talked so much trash and then never came to class. I'm like, okay.
I still have the abilities. I'm not concerned about that. All I'm saying is I hung up my toe shoes.
You sound like Donald Trump.
I hung up my toe shoes years ago. People told me I should make a comeback. I'm still. My pliés were incredible, incredible pliés I had. A man came up to me with tears in his eyes and said, I've never seen. Oh, boy. I have the same experience sometimes with stuff I've written where, and it's never anything that actually got made or went anywhere. It's always stuff that I'm like, oh, this is a piece of shit. And I like throw it in the drawer or something as if I'm writing on a manual typewriter. I leave it on the computer stored away somewhere. But then I'll go back and read it. And I'm like, oh man, this is actually funny. Why did I give up on this?
Yeah. You know? Sometimes you need the distance.
Right. Right. But so I get it that you're like, oh, this is actually good.
I was like, Tamara laughed really hard. Cause I was like, I think we got something here. Like, we should do, like, I'm just figuring that out now. After
we should
a
do
decade.
A show, you guys.
She's like, I know people like us. I'm like, Right. But so we had a long rehearsal yesterday, just with scheduling and people being out of town. We needed to really carve out a lot of time, like things that we had to do in person.
Right.
And
throws and jumps and leaps and catches. And,
yes. Lords of leaping.
Pliés.
Yes. So we did do a lot of pliés.
People told me I caught people better than anyone. They would leap and I would catch them.
But it was Super Bowl Sunday and we had decided to do this like all day rehearsal ahead of time. And it just made me laugh because you're like three non-jocks being like, yeah, Super Bowl Sunday, let's dance all day.
I don't really care about sports. Okay. Oh, they're going to play sports ball today. Like
I didn't say any of that. It truly, it just didn't, like, we all were like available. Yep. Nothing to go on. Like, didn't cross our mind, but, it was good. It was good. It was exhausting. I mean, I think we rehearsed 11, 12, I think we rehearsed 6 hours.
Wow.
Which is a lot. Yeah. Just for interpersonal healing.
Right. Right. That's a long time. I mean, I will say when my dance career was still going on, I would do 10, 12 hours at a time. But, you know, different levels of commitment result in different results. So, sure. You know.
But I came home so tired. And I think some of it was from the dancing, but also just like I was talking to two different people for the full 6 hours. Uh-huh. And I realized in life, I don't have, even at work, if there's a lot of downtime between meetings, like at home, it's very quiet. So I just was like,
yeah.
Jeff was trying to talk to you. I was like, I need to just not do
look,
anything.
Chill, Jeff. Okay. Talk to the hand.
I've been dancing.
I'm sorry, madam. Let me draw your bath.
Oh, that would have been nice. But yeah, I'm really excited. I hope people come. I hope people like it. I hope I'm proud of it. And I hope it's fun. And we'll see.
I hope all those things too, because I'll be there in the front row with opera glasses.
It's tough being in an audience. If an audience is too small, it's tough to be in an audience. I find.
Yes.
I feel like too much pressure of like, there's so much weight on each of my reactions. Feels like I'm on stage too.
Yeah. I was just talking about this with the great Jamie Flom when he and I had coffee recently. because I don't know if you remember this, but I was working on a one person show right before the pandemic started.
Oh, right. That was like one of
you guys came to the show and there was only like 8 people in the audience. And I had a whole thing where I climbed into the audience and sat on somebody's lap and I did it to Jamie and he was like,
ah. Oh my,
so funny.
That's like I like barely remember that. I feel like that's like the pandemic erasing memory.
Yeah, thing. It was right before that. I mean, it was within a week or two of the time everything shut down.
Oh my God.
That, I did the last, I only did it like 3 times. And it was called "The World's Going to Be Great Forever." And
no one's going to get sick. Go back.
Yeah. It was a bad title for a show. It wasn't even what it's the show was about.
Not even on brand for you.
I know. I was trying to be more positive. My first number was called "Isn't the Title of This Show Completely Ironic Given Who I Am and How I Feel About Things?"
It's too wordy.
It was hard to write the lyrics, I'll tell you that much.
But yeah, so that's why checking in. It's been like a lot of my life has been, I don't want to spoil anything, but there's like a special piece that I've been working on. Mm-hmm. And it's been fun and a lot of work. I'll put it at that. We'll talk about it after the show.
Yeah. I'm excited to see it because, I mean, I was already excited to see it, but what you said about not trying to give the audience what they want and doing what you want, mm-hmm. I think that's so key, mm-hmm. you know? Because whenever I go into something, I'm like, what am I going to come out of here with that I didn't have going in? You know, like, I just want to see things in a different way. I want to see a different perspective. I want to see what's interesting to somebody else that mm-hmm. makes me think about what I'm interested in or whether or not I'm interested in what they're interested in, you know, all of those things.
Oh, we're going to blow your mind.
I just hope you do Swan Lake and I hope do something from the Nutcracker, preferably the coffee dance.
So
that's
all
the sexiest one.
All Tchaikovsky all the time.
Not the marzipan stuff, just the coffee dance. Mm-hmm.
We have done Nutcracker, but it's not the season, my friend. You're going to be disappointed. But yeah, like even just writing the script, there's a lot of things that we were just like fucking around and saying something silly and we all mm-hmm. laughed and we were like, let's put it like, who cares? Let's put it in.
Yeah. I feel like there was a lot of that when we were writing Mr. Pickles, you know, mm-hmm. like we would just get lost in fucking around in the room in character. And then we would be like, let's make that an episode mm-hmm. or let's put that into this episode or let's, you know, and I think what that is, you know, it's like, what show am I listening to? I thought this
we're
was
being
about
pretentious
cucumbers.
About yeah, yeah, like yeah. A
but I do think
show.
I do think that is what is that is becoming confident in yourself as an artist. Whatever your art is, it's like this is what's coming out of me as I'm thinking about it, and I believe in that. I believe in myself enough to go, this is worth sharing with other people. They might not love it, mm-hmm. but I love it enough, and I'm confident enough in who I am as an artist to put it out there. And just see what happens, you know?
Right.
And we can't all be Steven Spielberg and do that when we're 22, but, you know, the world can spin a few more times or I don't know. How does it work? It turns.
We spin.
All right. Well,
every day.
Whatever. I don't,
but,
you know.
But then it goes around the sun.
I'm lost. I'm already lost.
Yeah. But that's my checking in.
I can't wait. Saturday night.
I can't wait to hear the review. It'll be on the podcast, right?
Yeah, yeah. We'll do it.
Depending on how scathing it is.
Folks, Amber is not showing up today.
You're going to roast my ass for an hour.
No. Just to plug it one more time. 9:30.
Saturday evening.
Lyric Hyperion. And you can get tickets at lyrichyperion.com. Is that right?
Yes, I have
Eventbrite. I know it's through like another thing.
I put it as my link in bio on my Instagram, if that's the easiest way for people.
Right. There's a million different ways to get there.
Yeah. But come.
And
have a good time.
If you buy it ahead of time,
it's a little cheaper.
It's cheaper, but also there's a service charge.
Oh, so it's the same. Okay, great.
No, it's not the same. You still save, but not as much as you would have if there wasn't, you know.
Well, there might be a service fee on the more expensive price.
It's true. It's true. Yeah. Hi, welcome to the show. it is $47 to get in, and there's also a $200 service charge because you waited so long. So please enjoy.
It's also funny because originally they gave us an hour and a half slot, which is like, that's
too long.
Way too long. Nobody wants to see us dance for an hour and a half. Right. I know that we're not just dancing, but it's too much. It's too much. But
you'd have to do like two acts or something if you were going to fill that whole time, you know?
Oh,
take
we're
like
doing
a half an hour intermission and then
Yeah. But so we are at, again, I don't want to spoil it, but we've gotten the show's like 45 minutes.
Great.
That's what I say.
And I was leaving at that time anyway. Like I always set my buzzer for 45
Dave
minutes.
Keeps stressing out about how short the show is. Yeah. And I was like, Dave, I've never left a show going, boy, I wish that was longer. Like never in my life. It's a pleasant surprise. I have more of my life back. Like leave them wanting more. Like I think we're doing the right thing.
That's funny. I will say that has been an issue for me in the last few shows I've done over at UCB. Because we used to do the show in two acts. So the first act was 40 minutes and the second act was, you know, 40 or 45 with an intermission in the middle. And now the ticket prices have gone up quite a bit. And they're like, no, we're just doing one act. So you're doing, you know, two stories. You do scenes off of that, whatever. So there's been times where, you know,
you're so used to like the muscle memory of doing the two act version.
No. I'm not saying that. I'm saying like I go on stage at the beginning of the show and I always clock the clock to see how long we've been on stage.
That's just a clever name.
I just realized where that term comes from when you see it in scripts. It's like he clocks the woman in the corner. Oh, I see what they're, you know, he's. But I always look at the time, which is right up in the booth. And the way, this is so boring, but ASCAT, you tell, the monologist tells two stories and everybody improvises off the first story, then they improvise off the second story. And they're like, you just do two stories and then you, whatever. And there's been several shows that I've been part of where somebody does the first story, people do a couple scenes, somebody does the second story, people do a couple scenes, and I look up and we're like at 38 minutes or 40 minutes.
You have to like
minutes.
Wrap it up. Yeah.
No. I'm saying like, that's not enough. Like then I go to the person who's telling the stories and I go, let's do one more story. Like, I'm like, these people paid money to be here. I am going to make the show longer because I want people to feel like they're not being like everybody's not going like that.
Oh,
was quick.
I got four scenes.
Right. So I don't know if that's the right thing because a lot of those people walk out going, boy, I wish that was shorter, but
All right.
All right. Checking in. Here's mine. I guess I woke up a couple of days ago and I came into the kitchen, I turned the water on and I had no hot water. And I was confused because I've had it for the most
That's
part.
That's typically
for a long
something
time.
That you've had. Yeah.
You turn on the hot water. There's two and nothing. Water came out, but it was cold.
It was cold. Yeah. Right.
So I texted the people downstairs thinking that maybe they were having work done on their plumbing and they had the hot water shut off or whatever, which ultimately I realized doesn't make sense for a reason that I'll get to in a moment. But I said, is somebody doing something? And they were like, no, our stuff is hunky dory or they, I don't know what term they use, but it was like hunky dory, A number one, something like that.
Are they spies?
they're bots. But they said we had a problem with our hot water recently, and it turned out that our hot water heater had died and we had to get a new one. And I was like, oh fuck. And so I went into the hot water heater cabinet in the wall here where my hot water heater is kept. And there's a pan. I don't know if you're familiar with the way hot water heaters are set up. There's a pan at the bottom in case there's any spillage from the hot water heater. And I looked at it and the pan was like filled. So there was a meniscus at the top. You know, the meniscus is where the water's like the only thing keeping the water in is the air pressure. So it curves up above the edge. So the pan had filled. So the hot water heater was leaking into the pan. Thank God it shut itself off that it was leaking into the pan. But I was like, oh, fuck. The hot water heater is leaking. So I had to call the plumber. This was on Friday. He couldn't be here till Monday. And he was like, it doesn't matter that I can't be there till Monday because it sounds like you're going to need a new hot water heater. And I can't get that till Monday. So I'll be there. I forget the end of what he said. I'll be there on Monday. He said, I'll be there on Monday. And
today's Monday.
He was here this morning. So I have not had hot water all weekend. So there's been a lot of cold showers.
Because it's so sexy.
I feel alive. But it was just really fun. Because first of all, it's going to be a lot of money. You know, like, you know that going in. They say hot water heaters usually last 6 to 8 years.
Oh.
I've been in this apartment for 16 years and the hot water heater was here before that. So I was like,
you're pretty much due. Yeah.
Okay, Tom Brady, time to retire. You know,
you did like, good, kid.
Yeah. Yeah. But whenever something like this happens, it's always going to end up being way worse than you thought it was because they go in and look at the hot water heater and then they're like, oh, there's this other thing. And they didn't, because when they built this building, and as somebody pointed out to me today, this is what people who build buildings on spec do. They do it as cheaply and quickly as possible.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they cut every corner. So it was like, it was just funny because I was sitting here in this exact seat and he's in there with the water heater. And this plumber, who I really like, I've used him for a couple other things. And I also just, you know, I like people in general. And he was like he's in the other room and he's very vocal about things. So all I can hear is him in the other room going, oh, no, 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 no. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, shit. No, 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 no. And I go in, I'm like, what's the matter, Avi? And he's like, oh, this gas pipe, no good, no good gas pipe. We got to replace that, replace the valve, replace this. We got to move this. I'm like, okay, you got to do it. Like, we're, you know, I want things.
Let's do it the right way. Yeah.
I go back in and then, so he's clink, clank, bunk, clank. Oh, shit. Are you fucking kidding me? Come on. Like, just one thing after another. And it turned out one of the problems, he's like, come here, look at this. Oh, he goes, do you have a tape measure? I'm like, yeah. And he goes, measure the top of the water heater. And I'm like, first of all, you should be measuring it because you're the guy who's here to fix this thing. But anyway, I measure the top of the thing. It's 22 inches in diameter. Now measure the door to the cabinet
Oh, no.
21 1/4 inches.
No.
So they built the cabinet around the hot water heater with a door that was too small to get the hot water heater out of the cabinet. So he's like, I got to take the wall down. We got to take the wall down. And I'm like, so you're telling me that we're going to have to take this wall down, but you don't. I'm like, you don't do walls, right? And he's like, no, 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 no. You get a carpenter to do that.
Oh,
so
my
now
God.
It's like spiraling into, right. You know, it's like a fucking nightmare. But he was able to like just take one part of one wall down and get it out. And then kind of like, I was like, I don't care. Like pound the wall, the piece of wall he had pulled out back in. So there's like a crack and I'm like, I'll get some
putty.
I'm going to fix that and paint over it. And I'll put a picture there. So you can't see that there's a,
well, cause you're going to have to do it again the next time you change out the water.
Heated. No, because now they're more narrow than they used to be. Like for whatever reason,
gotcha.
One he got was narrower than the one that was in there. But I just, it was like, it was so bothersome to me because it's like you're just doing something that you know is going to be a huge problem for somebody down the line.
But it's not my problem.
And it's not going to happen right away. So by the time somebody figures out, oh, this is
you're long up, gone.
Who cares, man? I'm out of here. The guy who built this place is probably in Puerto Vallarta by now.
Sipping pina coladas.
Cruise ship. And it just, it symbolized to me just the ethos of America these days. It's just like, do it fast, do it quick, do it cheap, do it dirty, take everybody's money as much as you can and get the fuck out of there. It's the political system. It's the business system. It's the three card Monte dealers on the street. Well, for those guys, I don't mind it, but you know, it's like, that's what everybody's about at this point is how much money can I make? How quickly without everybody realizing that I'm ripping them off. So that was my hot water heater drama. And then it's weird to not have hot water for a few days and then to turn on the sink and be like, oh yeah.
It's like coming back from camping.
Yeah. It was nice. It was very nice. So that was my big event of the week. I ended up not really watching the Super Bowl, not because I'm not a sports ball person, but I was like, you know, I had class. I got confused about when the Super Bowl started. I was like, it doesn't start till 6:30, but that's actually not true. It starts
right. That's probably on the East Coast. Yeah.
And I've only lived in LA for almost 20 years. So yeah. I'm not adjusted to the time zones yet. And so I had class and then I was like, it didn't work out, but I watched the end of the game. It was a good game. It was fun to watch the end. Everybody was very upset with the rules call at the end. Like they called a pass interference or a holding penalty on one of the defensive backs. And people kind of lost their minds going, how can you call that? How can you call that? It's so close to the end of the game. And I feel like I don't understand that.
If it was it, it is it. It doesn't matter when.
It's a rule. A rule is a rule. Like you don't go like, oh, you know, and there's this whole thing of like, you should never call penalties. But I feel like what that does is give an unfair advantage to the team who's on defense. If you're never going to call anybody for anything, they're just going to clobber the shit out of everybody.
Right. Yeah. We had the opposite at rehearsal. We started rehearsing at 10 a.m. and Dave was like, maybe we should take a break when Rihanna's performing to watch it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, the game doesn't start till 3:30. Like we've got some time.
So you knew exactly when it was.
Yeah. Well, I had to for work stuff.
Right. Yeah, I was literally until yesterday morning. I was like, no, I have class till 4. It's fine. It doesn't start till 6:30. So whatever. And then like an hour before class, I was like, fuck, this is bullshit. So my class was furious.
I'm sure your whole class. Yeah, I was going to say they probably felt the same way. Yeah.
All right. Well, it seems like this is a good place to wrap it up with a segment on the show that we like to call Parting Shots. So why don't we start today with Amber?
I'll keep the Super Bowl conversation going a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. When I did get home from rehearsal and eat dinner, we put on, it was on demand, so we didn't watch it live, but we put on the Puppy Bowl. Mm-hmm. And it was very cute. Smudgy was watching it. Like, I have no idea what was going through his brain, but it looked like he was interested. Mm-hmm. And it's just really cute. It's cute to watch a dog watch other dogs play football, in air quotes.
Who's watching the watchers?
Wow. But yeah, that's it. It was really cute. And I was really tired.
So you're going to go out on a limb and say the puppy bowl was cute and watching Smudgy watch the puppy bowl was cute.
Very cute. And he's aged out. We were like, oh no, he's like, I could have been a pro player when, if I had been put in the game, but I've aged out. I'm two now.
he's like my hot water heater. He's like too mm-hmm. far gone. By the way, if you could see the bottom, it was so crazy how badly rusted and deformed and fucked up this hot water heater was.
Oh, no.
The plumber was like, hey, thank goodness it didn't break while you were just here because it floods the whole apartment. The people downstairs get angry. They make you pay for everything. Yeah. So thank God it went out like it did, even though it was a pain in the ass.
It was a nice warning.
Right. Okay, I have a couple of parting shots. Here's the first one. We were talking about Paul Williams before, and I felt badly because I was like, this is a famous songwriter, and I could not name one song that he wrote. So here's a couple that he wrote that maybe we've heard of. He wrote We've Only Just Begun by the Carpenters, and also Rainy Days and Mondays by the Carpenters. So... He wrote the score and lyrics. Oh, I see. He wrote the score and lyrics for Bugsy Malone in 76. He wrote Rainbow Connection from the Muppet movie.
Whoa, that is a lifetime achievement right there.
Yes, agreed, 100%. He also wrote Evergreen, the love theme from Barbara Streisand's film A Star Is Born.
He's the Lady Gaga before Lady Gaga.
He wrote the lyrics for the opening theme for The Love Boat, which now I understand why he was on that quite a bit.
Yes.
He was in Smokey and the Bandit as Little Enos Burdett. He was in Phantom of the Paradise. So he did a lot of stuff, basically. So that's one of my parting shots. I'm just looking to see if they have... He is... 83 years old now, so he's up there. But it does not list his height, which I wish it did, just so I could say what it is. Because I know he's very, like, that was the whole thing with him, was that he was this little dude.
It sounds like he's probably protective of it and has sort of scrubbed it from the internet.
But I also feel like that was his claim to fame a little bit when he was doing all these acting roles, was he was the creepy little guy, you know? he had long blonde, like a weird blonde, almost like a Dutch boy haircut back then.
I'm looking it up.
I just picture him wearing like a white, like white pants and a white vest with like a shiny shirt. Like
but that's like what everyone wore back then.
Right. But I'm just saying he had a distinctive look that he was going for. And sunglasses. I feel like he always had these weird sunglasses on.
He kind of looks like Jodie Foster.
Right. He was the first choice for Silence of the Lambs. And then he felt like that was not appropriate for him. So here's my other thing is that there was a whole thing on Twitter yesterday that was really making me laugh because I don't know how. I don't think I did it on purpose, but I guess the algorithm, when you start to click on certain things, it starts to promote certain stuff to you. Mm-hmm. I don't know how algorithms work, but apparently they're computerized and you can't stop them once they go, oh, he likes that. He'll like more of this.
Just like our one fan, we can't stop them from listening.
Will not stop. But I'm on screen, like screenwriting stuff comes up a lot in my feed. And there was a whole thing yesterday about using the term we see in scripts.
Oh, like we see
a man on the on the moon and he's walking along hitting golf balls as he goes or whatever. And it was just so funny because people get so worked up about that shit. Like, there are people, and I am one
and,
of them.
And that would be in like stage directions, just for full clarification for other people listening. Correct. Like, it's like, we're not talking about dialogue. You're talking about like how you write the setting of a scene.
It, exactly. So it's literally that you are informing the person who is reading the script mm-hmm. of what they are seeing as they're watching the film. So instead of saying a man answers the phone, people will write in their script, we see a man answer the phone. Mm-hmm. And I never took like a real screenwriting course. I took like a sitcom class, but that was all about story stuff. It wasn't about formatting or anything mm-hmm. like that. And so I've always had a thing about we see without realizing what a bugaboo it was for real screenwriters. Because to me, saying we see in a script just doesn't make sense, because it just right. takes up room. And the premise of a script is that it is a thing you will see right. on screen.
I was just going to say, it's like redundant. It's
yeah,
like,
it's like, yeah, we get it. That's
what I'm about to say is the thing that is happening. And it's like, right. yeah, we know.
Right. I'm reading a script. Like I, yeah. you know, it's like writing a novel that says, we read that a man walks down the street. Like, oh, I see what I'm supposed to be doing.
Oh, wow. Okay. This yeah. is meta.
Right. but I would just always tell people when they hand it in scripts, I'd be like, don't put we see, because nobody cares. We all know you see that. And it just takes up more room. Mm-hmm. And real estate is so valuable. I mean, I guess that's more true in sitcom writing, but even so in you know, movie scripts, film scripts, motion picture scripts, yeah.
Move it along.
it's still like, you don't want to have too many words in there, you know? Mm-hmm. You want it to be 90 pages, not 100 pages, well, because you used we see over and over.
And again. Each of the words has value impact. And impact. Value.
Yeah, yeah, right. So apparently this year, there are a couple of screenplays nominated for Oscar awards that use we see. Like, I don't remember which ones, but one of them, oh, I know what I do remember which ones. It's Everything Everywhere, Whenever You Get There, You'll Be There.
Mm-hmm. I really loved that movie.
Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai. I haven't seen it yet. But apparently in that script, there are several instances, I don't know how many, where it says, we see this person hooked up to a machine. Through the next segments, we see that they are moving from this universe to this universe to this universe. We see this, we see this. And so somebody was saying like, who cares? Write, just write we see. Of course write we see. Why would you not write we see? Other people were like, you don't write we see because it doesn't make sense. Like, and it's just funny to me that people get so like angry at people who disagree with them about something like that, where it's like, if you get the idea across, it's okay. So who cares what you write?
Right, right.
But there
right,
are people who are willing, in a Twitter sense, to sort roll up like their sleeves and punch the other person in the face.
To die on the hill. Yeah. Yeah.
And I will say, you know, whoever was, I don't know who started the whole thing, but somebody was saying like, don't let people who've been writing screenplays for a long time tell you how to do things just because that's the way it's always been done. Which I think is bad advice, because to me,
you want the problem look with, to your elders.
Well, but also yeah. it's like the problem with any of this stuff is that anybody who's reading a screenplay and has control of whether or not you get the job or get paid for it or sell it or whatever is not just reading that script. They're reading hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of scripts. And what they are looking for with each of those scripts is a reason to say, no, I'm not interested in this. And even though that's a dumb reason, if somebody has that in their head that using we see makes you look amateurish, and that's the reason they use to throw your script away, it doesn't matter that your script is great. You shot yourself in the foot by using that phrase. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to die on that hill, but I am going to continue to tell people not to use we see in their script.
But I think What I would say is it's another example of the internet not being the greatest place for nuance and conversation, where, like, yes, there's always going to be exceptions to rules or like things that, like, it's not like a binary, but like, this is a good practice to go by. Right. I feel like we're saying the same thing.
I agree. And as opposed to what somebody was saying, which is like, see, this proves it. This script could win an Academy Award and it used "we see." So it doesn't matter that you ever use that phrase, which is not at all true, I think, you know? So that's my other parting shot for all the cucumber heads, the cucans, the cucanons. Next week, we can talk about how the words "pussy ass bitch" are in the congressional record now for all eternity.
Wow.
Folks, Lyric Hyperion, 9:30, February 18th. February, what is it? February 18th?
Yeah.
I will be sitting in row A, seat 6, right in the center.
What's this part about? Is that a new guy?
Danny, over here. I'm in the front. So come to Amber's show and, you know, do the usual thing. Like, if you didn't comment last week, comment this week.
You can comment both weeks, too. Don't let that hold you back.
100%. And hit the thing that rings and, like, the thing. And we'll see you next time on The Long Shot. It is a podcast.
Bye. Now I'm a sucker for delivery.